Joel chapter 2. Blow the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of Yahweh comes, for it's near. A day of darkness and gloominess, of clouds and thick darkness, like the dawn spreading on the mountains. A great and strong people, that is, their coming. There has never been the like, neither will there be any more after them. A fire devours before them, and behind them a flame burns. So, as we saw in chapter 1, this is God saying, look, you are about to be destroyed. This is like a bush fire that is burning towards you. And therefore blow a trumpet. And I think it's a call to repentance. God's saying, look, this is about to engulf you. It's about to happen, but you can change it if you repent. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. And I think he means let the ordinary people repent. No good leaving it to the elders of the church or the priests or whatever they had. They, as individuals, were to repent because God deals with individuals. So talking about these invaders that were coming, the land is as the Garden of Eden before them and after them, like a desolate wilderness, and no one has escaped them. Their appearance is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen so do they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of the mountains do they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devours the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. At their presence, the people, that's the people of Judah, are in anguish. All faces have grown pale. They run like mighty men. They climb the wall like warriors. They each march in his line. They don't swerve off course. Neither does one jostle another. They march each one in his path, and they burst through the defences and don't break ranks. They rush on the city. They run on the wall. They climb up into the houses. They enter in at the windows like thieves. So these invaders are, it seems, unstoppable. They're sent by God. The earth quakes before them. The skies tremble, the sun and the moon are darkened, and the stars withdraw their shining. Yahweh thunders his voice before his army, for his forces are very great. For he is strong who obeys his command. The day of Yahweh is great and very awesome. So these enemies who were invading are described as God's armies. And yet God is also described as Yahweh of armies, the Lord of hosts, of angels. So it seems that the angels in heaven, the armies of God's angels, were controlling these human armies on earth. That's why they're described as marching with horses and chariots and fire and thunder and all the sort of things that are associated with the cherubim of God's angels, with God's manifestation. And God, therefore, was behind these people. So you see how God can use even wicked people or unbelieving people. He moves the nations and armies around the stage of the world, but he does it all centered around his purpose with his people. Here it was to judge them and to punish them. And so that's how he moved these pagan armies around, and they were his armies. Yet even now, says Yahweh, turn to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping and mourning. Tear your heart and not your garments, and turn to Yahweh your God. So they were tearing their clothes, oh God help us, but he says, tear your heart. That is, really from your heart repent. And so often the Bible is so insistent that God is watching the state of your heart. That's what's most important to God. And he didn't want just external appearance of religion, appearance of repentance, tearing their garments. He said, what about your heart? Turn to Yahweh, that is, repent, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abundant in loving kindness, and repents or relents from sending calamity. Who knows, he may turn and relent or change and leave a blessing behind him, even a meal offering and a drink offering to Yahweh your God. So they are encouraged to repent because God is gracious and merciful and slow to anger and very kind and very eager to change the judgment that he has threatened. So God wants to forgive. It's not as if God is somehow far off and says, look, it's all over to you. If you live a good life, I shall bless you. If you don't, I shall punish you. That's it, your choice now, over to you. He comes over here, as he does all through the Bible, as really eager and enthusiastic, looking for any opportunity to forgive, looking for any opportunity to not have to judge people, because we know he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, although they do have to die if they won't repent. So, blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, because God is eager to forgive. So come on, repent. Gather the people, sanctify the assembly, assemble the elders, gather the children. Let the bridegroom go forth from his room and the bride out of her room. You see how children also can repent. You see how children are not irrelevant to God. The Bible has a lot to say about children. You think of all the children who've served God. Samuel, when he was really a little boy, ministered before the Lord with an ephod. Think of the little boy who brought the loaves and fishes. All the time you read this. So children can sin and children can repent and children can be righteous. Let the priests, the ministers of Yahweh, weep between the porch and the altar and let them say, spare your people, Yahweh, and don't give your heritage to reproach, that the pagan nations should rule over them. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Then Yahweh was jealous for his land and had pity on his people. Yahweh answered his people, behold, I will send you grain, new wine and oil, and you will be satisfied with them, and I will no more make you a reproach among the nations. But I will remove the northern army far away from you and will drive it into a barren and desolate land, its front into the eastern sea and its back into the western sea, and its stench will come up. Its bad smell will rise. I think this is finally talking about what's going to happen in the last days, because in the time of Joel, I'm afraid the people didn't repent, and the Babylonians came, and they destroyed Jerusalem and the temple, or the Assyrians came and carried Israel, the 10 tribes, into captivity, and they didn't repent. But finally, Israel will repent, and this is what's going to happen. They will be attacked by what's called the Northern Army. Well, the king of the north, the northern invader in the Bible, is always Babylon or Assyria. So there will be a latter-day equivalent, maybe from the same sort of area geographically within the land promised to Abraham. And this invader is going to be driven into the wilderness, and its front will go into the eastern sea. That's the Dead Sea, and it's back into the Western Sea, the Mediterranean. It's like a big beast that's going to come up upon the land, but then it's going to be driven into the sea. Land, don't be afraid. Be glad and rejoice, for Yahweh has done great things. And I said that God speaks about things which are not at the moment, as if they are. So Yahweh has done great things means he will do great things. So certain is his word of coming true. Don't be afraid, you animals, for the pastures of the wilderness spring up, for the tree bears its fruit, the fig tree and the vine yield their strength. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in Yahweh your God, for he gives you the former rains in just measure. He causes the rain to come down for you, the former and the latter rains as before. The threshing floors will be full of wheat, and the vats will overflow with new wine and oil. I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the great locust, grasshopper, and caterpillar, my great army which I sent among you. So this is all talking about the kingdom and how the situation in the kingdom is going to be established. And the curse that was put upon the earth in the Garden of Eden will be taken away. You'll have plenty to eat and will be satisfied and will praise the name of Yahweh your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people will never again be ashamed. You will know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am Yahweh your God, and there is none else. And my people will never again be ashamed. So it's talking about the last days, when the kingdom is finally established. And we go on to read, it will happen in the last days, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions. And also on the servants and handmaids I will pour out my spirit in those days. Well, these words were quoted about what happened in the first century. when the gifts of the Holy Spirit were given in a miraculous form, but those gifts have now been taken away. But here we see that the main fulfillment will be in the last days. When Jesus comes back, the Holy Spirit will be poured out when God's kingdom is established on earth, which means that it's not now around. The miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit are not now around. God's Spirit is still at work, and we are given the gift of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, and God works. God's not sort of dead. But the miraculous gifts are not for now, but they will be poured out when Jesus comes back. That's why we believe they're not now possessed. I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood, fire, pillars of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. And it will happen that whoever will call on the name of Yahweh shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be those who escape, as Yahweh has said, and among the remnant, those whom Yahweh calls. So again, these words are quoted in the New Testament when there is an appeal for people to call upon the Lord's name and be baptized and be saved. That's how these things can come true for us now, but the great fulfillment will be in the last days, when the remnant of Israel, of God's people, will repent and will be saved, the Spirit will be poured out, and the kingdom of God will be established here on the earth.